There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Live sport, the latest headlines, and top debate. This is The Grill with Tom Urquhart on DubaiEye 103.8.
Yeah, welcome back to The Grill. Just gone 8 minutes past five on your Saturday evening. A big thank you, as always, for tuning in to Dubai 103.8. It is myself, Chris McCarty, no Tom Urquhart, and his beautiful dulcet tones. He is off on his summer holidays. He is off enjoying the UK sunshine. It is Mark Archer, alongside myself, and Sean O'Shea, the head of football operations down at Nadal Sheba. And we were just talking before the break there with the boys from Dubai Sharks about the new facilities down at Maidan. And I guess I've got to ask you, Sean, as the head of football operations at Nadal Sheba, you have given me the tour, and I thank you so much for that, the Nadal Sheba Sports Complex. It is, and again, I don't want to blow hot air up your backside, but it is one of the top, if not the top facility anywhere in the world. I mean, Luke Shaw, we talked about him at the top of the show. He came over, Patrice Evra. We've had numerous teams, Manchester United, Real Madrid. Are they just being polite when they tell you that this is extraordinary, or is it? And I know what you're going to say in all this. Of course it is.
Well, it is, yeah. Well, it is. It really is.
I think the listeners, though, give them a semblance of exactly, because we talk, you know, the buzz were Nadal Sheba Sports Complex. It's quite easy just to, it rolls off the tongue. But give the listeners that perhaps aren't aware of the facility exactly what you have at your disposal.
Well, it's a state-of-the-art facility where, you know, first and foremost, we've talked about this before, is when teams come over, the first thing they want to know is the quality of the pitches and how many pitches you've got.
Yeah.
Okay, we've got two, but the quality throughout the year is, like, phenomenal. They are, even now at this time of year when the sun is baking, it looks like Wembley, you know, it's unbelievable. But then it's just all the stuff that comes with it. We have, you know, state-of-the-art gym, recovery facilities, medical facilities, everything that a football club would need when they come on camp. It's like a home from home for them. And, you know, we talked about that before with Man United here, and Jose Mourinho, who is a man who speaks his mind.
I believe him
when he says that, but he walked around the facility, and when he went into the gym and stuff, he was like, wow, he was blown away. And he said, I have been around the world, I've seen the best facilities, he goes, and nothing compares to this.
He said that.
Yeah.
That is high praise indeed. He was rather quiet after that for a few days, and then at the end of the trip, he did thank you for a wonderful stay.
He did, yeah, yeah, yeah. He had me in the palm of his hand.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
The big question is, though, did you make him smile?
I didn't personally make him smile. He was smiling when he was sat in the sunshine because he'd just come out of rainy Manchester,
yeah,
so he was happy enough sitting in the sun.
Because, of course, that's the Jurgen Klopp quote today. All he wants to do is make Jose Mourinho smile.
That was after Jose had bitten back at the suggestion. And I think he's making a fair point. Obviously, in the wake of Jurgen Klopp going full circle, criticising Manchester United a couple of years ago for spending the 90-plus million on Paul Pogba, saying that he would want to do things differently. That comment has come back to bite him on the backside because now he's been accused of hypocrisy after spending a world record on a goalkeeper, a world record fee on a defender. And he held his hands up to say, yeah, you know what? I'm now spending with the big guns because we need to compete. Jose Mourinho has come back, and again, the mind games have started.
The ball's not even
been kicked in anger yet. Jose Mourinho's coming back to say, well, now I hope you give Liverpool the tough time that you've been giving the rest of the managers of the top teams, because now they are expected to win. And I think Liverpool fans, let us know 4001. We've had more texts coming in on the football, but they are now.
Absolutely.
To be. The pressure has to be, and again, I guess pressure comes from within. It would be very interested to hear from Liverpool fans as to whether or not they are expecting a title challenge this season. But with the money spent, similarly with the money spent by United, by City, by Chelsea to a lesser extent, it means that you've got to be challenging.
You talked about earlier, you can't help but spend a lot of money on players because the prices are ridiculous. But when you do go out and buy four or five players and you're spending 40, 50, 60 million plus money, you know, your fans are going to expect. One of my good friends, a Liverpool fan, I was talking to him earlier today, and he expects them to make a serious title challenge with the players they've got.
And if they're all going,
so the pressure will be on him now.
That is the scary thing, and I know we've talked about this at length over the piece as well, is that Jurgen Klopp, fine manager, needs to win trophies. Jose Mourinho, fine manager, needs to win trophies. I could go on. Pep Guardiola, now Maurizio Sarri, Unai Emery,
Pochettino.
Yeah. All of these guys are competing for, let's be frank about it, a Premier League, an FA Cup, a League Cup, a Champions League and a Europa, League. Yeah. There's not enough trophies to go around. So at the end of this coming campaign, and again, it's you give yourself a chance if you play a certain brand of football. Jose Mourinho's margin for error is that much smaller than, say, a Jurgen Klopp, because at least if Liverpool don't win anything,
They've entertained.
Yeah. United, on the other hand, his margin for error is that much smaller.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. You think, I was watching an interview with Herrera today, we were talking about, you know, last season, this season, expectations, and he was talking about the Sevilla game. And that, you know, that is a game that Man United should have won. You know, it's no disrespect to Sevilla, because they're a decent side, but when United got drawn against Sevilla, you, especially, like, as a United fan, thinking, oh, we're going through here.
Rubbing your hands with glee.
Yeah. So, like you said, the margin of error is... it's tiny for him.
It's going to be an interesting season. A text has come in from Kunta saying that good to be the underdog. Having said that, City and United will be aiming for Champions League. Same for Liverpool. If Gunners focus for title, we are going all the way. I do love the optimism amongst Arsenal fans. But you know why I love it? Because it's been years of pessimism. Not Rashid. Rashid is the most optimistic Arsenal fan on the text lines on 4001. But the majority are incredibly pessimistic. And now all of a sudden, Unai Emery's come in, they're going to win the Premier League.
Well, I think Kunt is very happy here because it's goals in this pre-season.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So second half, it was a poor start from Arsenal, and son of the legend George Weah, Tim Weah, has gone in, driven into the box, got brought down, and then Nkunku scored the penalty, 1-1, but then quick retaliation, 2-1 Arsenal, Lacazette scored, he's come off the bench, and then bang, 4 minutes later, Lacazette scores again. It's Arsenal 3, PSG 1. So he's thinking, we've beaten PSG here, we're going to win the title.
I can see 2 and 2 equals 4 on that one. But yeah, interesting as well. And good to see Alexandre Lacazette amongst the goals. Where he quite fits in this Arsenal team this season, I'm not quite sure. Do you shunt Aubameyang out wide to accommodate Lacazette? Do you play the front two?
Maybe play a front three. I don't know.
Well, you've got Ozil, Mkhitaryan to come in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think he might, or maybe a 4-2-3-1, and he might drop one of them back, maybe, and keep Lacazette as
and Aubameyang wide.
Bring Aubameyang wide, use his pace to get in behind.
Watch the space on that.
Be interesting
front
to see
as
how
well.
They set up. Really well.
I'm looking at you, Mark Archer, as if to say, where's his eyes looking? But he's just gone. I know where you've just nipped off
to. We've lost him to the rugby.
We've lost Mark Archer to the rugby. He was gesturing to our IT and to our tech ops team, Isa, who has, well, she's heeded your request, and she's stuck on the Lions Waratahs. It is on OSN Live, and early stages of this one, my goodness, 9 minutes on the clock, Mark Archer, and the Waratahs are up and running.
As much as I love European Tour Golf and the scientist Bryson DeChambeau, it is time for Super Rugby semi-final. And I can tell you what, we talked about the Lions playing at altitude at Emirates Park, having the advantage, but it's the men from New South Wales off to an absolute flyer. Not even 10 minutes gone on the clock. It's Waratahs 14, Lions 0. Two converted tries. After 4 minutes was the flanker. Ned Hannigan went over in the corner. That was converted by Bernard Foley. And we've just seen Israel Folau bust open, score under the posts. And it's also been converted by Bernard Foley. 10 minutes gone at Emirates Park. It's the Waratahs leading the Lions 14-0.
Fantastic. I think that's a decent turnout. Yeah, not a spare seat in the house there. That's a great turnout down there in Joburg. Lions, well-supported club down there?
Yeah, obviously a big population there in Johannesburg, and they've turned out to support their team today. But can the Lions fight back here? They have to score next to get back into this match, get some momentum here. Waratahs have started strongly, of course. 80 minutes at altitude will test their lungs, will test their fitness. And we know the Lions are a very fit team, used to playing at altitude week in, week out. But they need to score next to get on the scoreboard, get back in this match. 10 minutes gone. It's the Waratahs. 2 converted tries to 0. Lead the Lions 14-0.
I did pose a question at the start of the show. Forget my passport troubles, and if you missed that, I'll give you a reminder of that between now and 6 o'clock. But I did pose the question because we see so much now, players transferring and the money that's involved, for the boys to give me the top 10 transfers of all time. Now, Sean O'Shea has been, you think you've got it?
I think I've got it, yeah.
Are you cheating though?
No, I'm not cheating. Oh, no, honestly, I'm not cheating.
Okay, so the top 10 most expensive players in footballing history, go.
Right, in no particular order.
Right, we'll come to the order later. But
Neymar.
Yes.
Mbappe.
Yes.
Ronaldo.
Yes.
Pogba.
Yes.
Bale.
Yep.
Virgil van Dijk.
Yep.
Dembele.
Yep.
Coutinho.
Yep.
Romelu Lukaku.
Yep.
And then I was...
How much was Lukaku?
75, I think.
Right.
Right, and then the last one, I was torn between Luis Suarez,
mm-hmm.
and then I remembered Gonzalo Higuain.
Oh, yeah, yes, Higuain to Juve was huge.
And today, I could be cleverer than you in football stats if I get this right.
You're close. I'll tell you what, Shaunie, you're close with those ones. We need an order now, and I think I've got the order from the names that you've given me.
Trust you.
But yeah, they're the 10 most expensive.
Are they the 10? Yeah,
I'm pretty sure they are.
Ah, boom.
That's impressive. If you haven't cheated, which...
I haven't.
Okay, that is impressive. Mark Archer, I'm still waiting for you to name me your best 11 in the world of cricket. That's the other question I've posed this afternoon.
That's a Sports Tonight show.
That is probably
Tune
a Sports
in for Wednesday
tonight.
Night.
Who would be, quickly, who would be your openers?
Oh, my openers, best 11 ever. Oh, it's so tough. I need to map it all out in front of me.
Well, do it.
I'm not a top of the head guy, Chris. I need to do my research. Well, you know that.
Tell me this, though.
Map it out.
Sachin would get in.
Sachin would get in the best ever 11, yes.
Okay, good. Would you shoehorn a Brian Lara into the best 11?
I think
11?
Brian Lara would have to be there or thereabouts for those runs that he scored, particularly the highest scores. But again, you're getting a lot of players competing for the same position.
Robbie and I had an argument a couple of weeks ago over this subject, and I know I'm dotting all over the place. It's the grill. You can afford me this. Who would get your vote, Kumar Sangakkara or Adam Gilchrist?
Ooh, in what form? Test cricket, one day cricket, or T20 cricket?
All rounder. You've got to pick one that you can use.
Well, what format? So no, across all three formats?
Yeah, all three formats.
I would take. That's tough.
Yeah, we had an argument over this one, me and Robbie. We often fall out over most, but.
You know what? I'd probably take Adam Gilchrist.
Interesting. You've went
for his
Robbie
ability
Greenfield.
For his ability to change a game.
I went Kumar.
Yeah, again, what
we're splitting hairs, I appreciate.
What format are you playing in which country? In the subcontinent, you take Kumar Sangakkara every time. In Australia,
you take Gilchrist.
You take Gilchrist. You know,
in England?
Probably Gilchrist, because he's probably playing against England. And Gilchrist changed the game. He scored so quickly, he could turn a test match around.
Fantastic.
Whereas Kumar
boy.
Sangakkara batted anywhere in the top five, could open the batting, could bat three, could bat four. Gilchrist was pretty much your pure number six or number seven, opened in one-day cricket, of course.
He did.
But just Gilchrist, the speed that he scored at changed matches, particularly batting. It's saying the all-rounder batting spot that he batted number seven usually for Australia, and that he could change the game.
Gilchrist or Sangakkara? Archie's gone Gilchrist. I just went Kumar Sangakkara. I like Kumar. An absolute gentleman he is as well. That 11, Mark Archer's getting on it as we speak. That all-time 11. And you're right. I think we will turn this into a Sports Tonight show.
Let's do it on Wednesday because, of course, England play India in the first test match.
Yeah, we're going to be joined by Nick Compton as well. We're going to also be live to India building up to that opening test match over at Edgbaston. But you're listening to The Grill. When we come back, there is Formula One qualifying over at Hungary to put you in the picture of. There's also the Tour de France, the penultimate stage 20. Sean O'Shea is getting excited because he's keeping an eye on all the goals that are raining in over in Singapore between Arsenal and PSG. So stay tuned. You're listening to The Grill. We are with you all the way through until 6 p.m. this evening. Keep your thoughts coming in too on 4001.
This is The Grill, bringing you the biggest sports stories right now on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Yeah, welcome back to The Grill. I'm sure many of you will have heard our team here at Dubai 103.8 wax lyrical about our new studios over the course of the past 6 weeks or so since we moved from our old home at Studio City to Media City. Now, Robbie and I were late to the party because we, of course, have been on the road for the FIFA World Cup. We were down at the Bridgewater Tavern. So we are still like little puppies playing with a brand new, or little kitten playing with a ball of wool because, one of the beauties of our new studios, other than the fact that they are spacious, we've got a beautiful view down towards the Burj Khalifa. The Burj Al Arab is to our left through the windows as well. But we're also graced with five big screens. And I will take a little video of these screens and stick it up on our Instagram. But we've got five screens and the boys are just, they've tuned off from me because they've all turned around and they're all watching the five screens. We've got the golf over in Hamburg ongoing, the Porsche European Open. We've got the rugby, Super Rugby semi-final down in Joburg between the Lions and the Waratahs. We've now got the Formula One sparked up. The only thing that we're missing, Sean O'Shea, is Arsenal PSG on that last one, which seems to be turned off that last screen, but
I think they're still looking for it, aren't they?
I tell you what, Chris, we need to give Isa or the IT guys a pay rise or a promotion, because they've done a great job here. If they could just remove you from the one screen that we can see, then they've done a fantastic job. We don't have to look at you on that screen there. We replace you with Arsenal PSG. That would cap off the afternoon.
Yeah, we are being filmed, and that will be the next step for Robbie and I to get up to speed with the technology. We've got cameras in the studio, and we do want to ensure that we can start Facebook Living.
That'd be brilliant.
As well.
Out of the window goes the old face for radio.
Well, out of the window goes you and Mark Archer for a start, Sean O'Shea, if we start streaming ourselves in here. But yes, we are going to get to grips with those cameras, and we will be rolling out some footage from our shows, and hopefully you guys will enjoy them. But we are keeping an eye on all of the live sport. It is a Saturday afternoon, of course. There is sport ongoing throughout the world. Let's give you an update on some of the sporting stories that are making the headlines right now. If we can, Mark Archer, let's start with Super Rugby. Second semi-final, Crusaders already into next weekend. Final, who will be joining them?
Yeah, this match is taking place, the second semi-finals at Emirates Park in Johannesburg. It's the Lions hosting the New South Wales Waratahs. Lions heavily favoured at home, but it's the Waratahs have started the strongest. 20 minutes gone, the Waratahs are still 2 converted tries to 0 against the Lions. The Lions are trying to get some possession and get back into the match here. Tries for the Waratahs for Ned Hattigan, the flanker. He went over after 4 minutes. Israel Folau Double the lead after 8 minutes. He burst under the post through some weak tackling. The Lions have been dropping off too many tackles, but 20 minutes gone, and it's the Waratahs leading the Lions 14 points to 0. Lions now hot on attack.
Bryson DeChambeau was the halfway leader in the Porsche European Open over there in Hamburg. Not the case now. Great to see another American make a burst for the lead as well. Mark Archer's keeping an eye on it.
Yeah, Patrick Reed has got to 2 under for the day, 10 under par, but it's Richard McAvoy, the Englishman, at 11 under par, 2 under par for his round today. He's played 9 holes. 3 players tied for second position, 10 under par, 1 shot back from Richard McAvoy. Patrick Reed, Matthias Schwab from Austria, and Bryson DeChambeau. So Richard McAvoy has a 1-shot lead over that trio of players in the Porsche European Open, Chris.
I can tell you as well, qualifying has begun over in Hungary, the Hungaroring? Hungaroring. Hungaroring is what it's called. I knew I'd get there. I knew I'd butcher it to begin with as well. But we have seen Q1 has been and gone, eliminated. We have seen the likes of, and again, the McLaren struggling. Stoffel Vandoorne, the Belgian, he will start from 16th in the race tomorrow. Charles Leclerc for he's 17th. Esteban Ocon for Force India. What a miserable weekend Force India have had. We know the news and we spoke about it a little earlier. They are now in administration. Esteban Ocon will start from 18th. His teammates, Sergio Perez, the Mexican, also in Force India, 19th. And then comes Sergei Sirotkin, the Russian, for Team Williams, will start 20th, dead last. We're into Q2, and Sean O'Shea has just signalled that there's been another goal in the football. Arsenal are running riot.
Arsenal are going crazy today. 4-1 now. 4-1 it is. 87th minute, Holding has scored, and the game is as good as done. We've got a couple of minutes left, but...
You know it's good when Rob Holding's popping up to score.
An impressive performance from Arsenal. They started a bit sloppy to start the second half, but they've been very good to finish. And
Arsenal 4, PSG 1. A much changed PSG side.
To be fair, it's a very weak side. No disrespect to them, but they've played well actually. They started the first half and second half, PSG did well, but Arsenal just proving too strong.
So 2 goals for Lacazette, 1 for Holding, 1 for the captain for the day as well, Mesut Ozil. A welcome relief from him after all is what's going on with him over the course of the past 10 days or so. So Arsenal, fine victory. That will be, I'm sure, garnering plenty of headlines over there in the UK. Mark Archer's got his hand up because there's been another try in the rugby.
I was just saying how it was vital that the Lions score next in the Super Rugby semi-final, and they've just gone and done that. Quagga Smith, a man we see in Dubai regularly with the Blip Box, the Sevens team for South Africa, he's bustled his way over for a score. It hasn't been converted by Elkin Gentes, but I can tell you that the Lions are well back into this match now. They trail Waratahs 14 points to 5, 22 minutes gone at Emirates Park. Let's see if they can score next. But it's Lions back in the match. They now trail the Waratahs 14 points to 5.
As you well know, Mark Archer, Super Rugby, not one of my necessarily strong points. I read up on it. I keep an eye on it. I can have a chat about it, but I wouldn't rush to the television screen to watch it. What is the, I guess, general feeling towards Super Rugby? Obviously, it's popular in New Zealand. Crusaders are the standout team. The Hurricanes, there or thereabouts as well. New Zealand, Australia, Japan, Argentina. Do they get good crowds?
So I think some of the teams get good crowds. We're seeing a good crowd today for the semi-final in Johannesburg. I've got to admit, it was a bit disappointing. It wasn't a full house in Christchurch this morning to watch the Crusaders. They struggled a little bit down there in the South Island. Of course, their permanent stadium was damaged 6 or 7 years ago in the earthquakes in Christchurch, and they have a temporary, they're still 6 years in, they have a temporary type facility with a smaller capacity. They used to play at what was Lancaster Park, 40,000, 35,000, but now they have a sort of a 20,000 sort of more temporary facility. Struggle to get people along on a cold Saturday night in the middle of a New Zealand winter. I think some of the crowds are inconsistent.
Right.
To say that, I guess we're living that day and age with so much rugby going on, Super Rugby. You can sit at home, watch one match from New Zealand, take a half an hour break, watch a match from Australia, take another couple of hours break and watch a match from South Africa. Yeah. So that's kind of the pros of the Super Rugby setup. But good crowd today at Emirates Park in Johannesburg. It looks like a pretty big capacity there.
Who is your team? I've never asked.
I'm from Christchurch, so the Crusaders are my team.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
I bleed red and black, Chris.
That old chestnut. He's from Christchurch, so he has to be a Crusaders, of course.
This is a man from for Aberdeen who supports Manchester United.
Exactly, Ferguson. Yeah, it has to be, isn't it? Sir Alex Ferguson. It's passed down. Mark Archer, 8 years as Aberdeen boss. He then goes down and spends.
He's Glaswegian
years.
For a start.
He's Glaswegian, but he made his name at Aberdeen. Made his name at Aberdeen
Clutching
Football Club. 8 years.
Follow the man, not the club.
That's exactly that. That's what you do. You follow Fergie. Wherever Fergie goes, we go. 8 years as Aberdeen boss. He had in 1983, let us not forget, beat the mighty Real Madrid over in Gothenburg. Cup Winners' Cup.
Do you have any affiliation with Aberdeen or affinity to them?
Well, what, the football club?
Yeah.
Sir Alex Ferguson.
Yeah, well, yeah, apart from that, yeah.
They are my nearest big club. I mean, I'm from a small village about an hour's drive.
I wouldn't say a big club, that's...
No, they're the Scotland's third biggest club.
But do you support them in the Scottish Premier League?
Yeah, they would be my team that would get my support. I've had many a time have I sat on a freezing afternoon at Pittodrie watching the Dons.
But they got a good result against Burnley, didn't they?
They had a great result against Burnley in their Europa League qualifier, one apiece. They were, 12 minutes away from a victory?
Nearly won that.
The other night on Thursday. So the second leg at Turf Moor, I think Burnley will come through ultimately. But Aberdeen doing an awful lot for Scottish football, putting a little shot in the arm because it's fair to say that Scottish football has come in the mire because, of course, Aberdeen losing a player, their star striker Adam Rooney, to a fifth-tier English club.
He's gone to Salford, hasn't he?
He's gone to Salford.
And he's on silly money.
£5,000 a week.
Imagine that.
£5,000 a week in Salford City, who are owned by the Manchester United, ex-Manchester United boys, some of the Busby Babes, the Gary Neville, Phil Neville, Paul Scholes, Nicky Butt, and Ryan Giggs have all invested in that football club. £5,000 a week they're paying Adam Rooney, who was the top goal scorer for Aberdeen last season. So that led to a lot of column inches being, I guess, dedicated to telling how this is the demise of Scottish football. It's complete and utter nonsense. Is it the demise of Scottish football? It's just that a team down south who have aspirations of getting to the Premier League one day have got an awful lot of money to spend, and Adam Rooney's taken the decision that at this stage in his career, it's too good an offer to turn down. Yeah. Anyway, Mark Archer, there's been another try.
Yeah, the Lions are striking back. They did trail the Waratahs after 10 minutes, 14 points to nil. But the last two tries have come from the Lions. First it was Quagga Smith. That was unconverted by Elton Yankees. I can tell you that Dianti, the winger, has just scored a sensational try from inside his own half. He recovered a New South Wales Waratahs kick. He did the kick and chase. He gathered the ball on the full. He went to the outside, bet a couple of despairing tackles from the Waratahs, and has gone over for a great try on the left wing. So Dianti has scored the second try for the Lions. Elton Yankees, we're looking, lining up the conversion now. Can he make it successful and get within 2 points of the Waratahs? I'll tell you in about 5 seconds' time as he lines up for this kick, and he has slotted it. He slotted the kick from the corner. So as we go, 27 minutes gone. It's the Waratahs 14, the Lions 12. Game on.
Just going at 5:30 on your Saturday evening. Make sure to keep it locked on Dubai 103.8. We're with you through until 6 o'clock, and we will tell you about another goal in that pre-season friendly match between Arsenal and PSG. It's a raining goals. More on that when we come back.
This is The Grill, bringing you the biggest sports stories right now on Dubai Eye 103.8.
It's just gone 5:36. Welcome back to the show. We're just laughing off it. I say, the boys are laughing. I'm not laughing. We're still having the conversation. Shawnee is still utterly bemused at the fact that I can't swim. I was just telling you the story as to, partly explain the reason why I can't. all dating back to the time I was five and I almost drowned. And as Mark Archer's rightly pointed out, that should have probably spurred me on to go and learn how to swim.
It probably should. I feel bad now for mocking you a little
bit. It's all right, mate.
I'm sorry about that.
It's fine. I'll cry.
I'll make it up to you.
I'll cry. Oh, that sounds just weird. But I will one day. I promise you, I will one day learn to swim. I did love Mark Archer there as well. He's like, so you don't jump off of cliffs into what? No, of course I don't, Arch. I don't swim. Therefore, I'm not jumping off of cliffs. I do enjoy, though, it must be said, a good water park. But I am 6'5". So yeah. Whatever I pop out at from any flume, then I just have to stand. And
but do you ever lay out in the sun and then just have a dip in the pool, like stand in the shallow end?
Of course.
Right.
Yeah, of course.
That's all right then. That's
I mean, you're 6'5", will you go into 6 foot of water?
I'd go into 6 foot of water. Ultimately, as long as the water is up to like...
chest.
My chest, yeah. Yeah. I can do that. That's no problem at all.
They're brave first steps then.
Decent. Well done. We'll get me learning how to swim. We're going on holiday together, yeah. Mark Archer, with other people, of course, not just you and I. That would just be a bit strange. But you can maybe learn me to swim.
Yeah, I'm going to go buy some water.
teach me to swim. It's been a long day.
Yeah. I think I'm going to go buy you some water wings.
No, that's not happening. I'm 6'5".
So peck your budgie smugglers and we'll get you some water wings. It'll be a great holiday.
I would pay good money to see that man in a pair of speedos.
Oh, my Lord.
And some armbands.
I would...
That'd be class.
What a sight that would be. That is something that I will not be doing over in Croatia. I will not be scaring off the locals with that look. But we are keeping an eye on all the live sport. There has been another goal. I promise you we would tell you about that other goal in the pre-season friendly between Arsenal and PSG. And Arsenal, it's a high five.
It is a high five. Yeah, it's full time now, 5-1. And it's I'm going to have an attempt at this name. It's not a player I've come across before. I'm going to say his name is Nketiah.
I'll take it. I'll
Thank you.
Run with it. It
Thank
is Nketiah. A lot of text coming in. Thank you. I support you, Chris, says one. No name on that one. And then I'm 26. I can't swim either. I almost drowned. So did I, by the way. That was part of the story. I had to be resuscitated when I was 5. Oh. Can never get myself to go to the deep side of the pool again. And I tell you, we're delving in to far too much details about my water habits. But when I was a young boy, even under a shower, my chest would tighten.
Really?
Because I'd be panicking at the memories of almost drowning. I've since got over that. I don't come to.
I bet your passport wasn't happy in the washing machine either.
Well, that's
more water
stories.
What is more likely to happen, Chris? Are you more likely to get your driver's license sometime in your life, or are you more likely to learn how to swim?
Absolutely, 100% more likely to learn how to drive.
Yeah, but are you going to learn to drive?
There's no plans in the immediate future. I will have to.
We
one
should
day,
all
though.
Chip in for a Christmas present, buy some driving lessons.
Yeah, maybe.
Or some swimming lessons, maybe.
I would love to see you drive a car.
I trust me, my mum shakes her head at the thought of me buying a car.
Does she?
But you boys know me enough now to know that I do enjoy a chat and I do enjoy just surveying my, I guess, surroundings. I would be a nightmare on the roads of Dubai. And the roads of Dubai scare me a little bit as well.
We have had a text in saying Hugo Gregory, a regular listener, says he can borrow his armbands.
I may well be borrowing Hugo, who is about 4 years of age, but I may well be borrowing his armbands. That will be something I will be doing on holiday in a couple of weeks. But enough of this nonsense. I don't drive.
If you get your passport sorted.
And if I get my passport sorted. And yeah, if any of you have been tuning in for the entirety of the show, long story short, the missus washed my passport yesterday in the wash. It has come out. We have blow-dried it. There is a suggestion that we will iron it. Right now, it is under two solid stones because we're trying to flatten it out. I was asking earlier whose fault it was. Shaunie, you're with me.
Absolutely, mate.
The responsibility lies with the individual washing the clothes, completely with you. Mark Archer is saying that I should take more responsibility and therefore it's my fault. Let us know. 4001. We all know. It's the missus's fault.
That's
she
right.
She washed the clothes. Rule 101. I said this to her yesterday. Check the pockets.
There's got to be an endless...
Did you say that? Did you say check the pockets?
Of course.
Before she washed them?
Yeah. No, I didn't say that. After the fact. After the fact. So we're having the argument.
Given the supporting evidence that the passport had been in your pockets for 3 weeks in your clothes pile, I think you should accept some responsibility.
No, none. I mean, did I ask, and again, we're getting into, I'm letting you into the argument that was had yesterday morning, but did I ask for her to wash the shorts? No.
Did you? But you, you didn't, but they were in the wash basket. The assumption is you wanted them washing.
Well, yeah, true. But again, it comes back to it. You've got to take responsibility.
You've got
to check the pockets.
Out of interest, does she listen to the show?
Potentially she will be this evening, and if she is,
she's probably driving here to pick you up shortly.
No, she's not.
Sean will be driving him home.
Sean's driving me home this evening, so There's no need to do that. But anyway, keep your thoughts coming in on 4001. We are babbling about nothing to do with sport, but it is entertaining, at least for us three gentlemen anyway. I do sincerely hope that it is for you as well. Let's give you some live updates if we can. There is the qualifying in F1. The football, is it an end yet?
It's
Arsenal
finished.
PSG?
Yeah, it's done. Finished yet.
5-1 Arsenal?
5-1 finish, yeah, Arsenal.
Okay, 5-1. Great victory that for Arsenal. And I might just have to rethink our little predictions earlier when we were saying that Arsenal won't win. Again, I'm not getting carried away.
Stick to your guns, Chris.
Arsenal, I tell you what, this is more of a question. If they're not going to win the league, will they finish top four?
I think they will finish top four this year, yes. Mm. I do believe that.
Okay, so who finishes top four?
It's a good question. No, I think City will win the league. I think Liverpool will finish second. I think Arsenal will finish ahead of Manchester United. I actually think...
So Chelsea and Spurs to finish outside the top four? Mm. That's bold. That is bold.
Yeah, honestly, yeah.
Wow. Let us know. Mark Archer, I take it you're going, well, you said it on Thursday, one of the Manchester teams to win the league, correct?
That's my been prediction the last two seasons. I've been correct,
right.
Chris.
So one of the Manchester teams. So the other Manchester team to finish second then, right?
I think City are going to be firm favourites going into the season. Their squad's just so strong in depth. They've got world-class talent. They could field two teams, probably both finish in the top six in the Premier League. I think Mourinho's pragmatic style will be enough this year. They'll add enough players, and I think they will give them a good run. I think hopefully it's a much better championship. It's contested by more teams for longer. City really had it won by Christmas time last year, which means they could go off and focus on other things. I think for Manchester City, they want to progress to the latter stages of the Champions League. That's their test now. But I can't see any reason why Manchester United won't, with some new players gelling in there, won't finish in the top two.
United, for me, have to change. Well, Mourinho has to change the way he plays, because United have got a phenomenal squad. But if he doesn't change the way they play football, they'll all be, you know, they talk about Pogba being restricted. You look at Fred that they've signed. You know, he was up here with Shakhtar Donetsk in January.
Yeah, he was.
And we watched him against AIK, and he was a smashing footballer. Like, he gets on the ball, he picks great passes, he sees passes, and his weight of pass was tremendous. But if he plays in this sort of very defensive, rigid style that Mourinho likes to play, it's pointless having him.
I do think we are potentially headed for a car crash at Old Trafford. Mm. It's negative right now.
And Mourinho's body language in these press conferences is awful.
Yeah, it's not great, is it? You want to be bubbling of energy. Yeah. You want to be enthused, excited about the new season. And day one, what was it? It was negative. It was making excuses. It was almost belittling the players that he has at his disposal now, where instead he should be looking to talk them up, go out there, play with a freedom, go and impress men, yep, play your way in. It's just, yeah. Anyway, I'm not going to beat around the bush on that front any longer. We know Manchester United, the problems that are there. In terms of the new footballing season, though, Cristiano Ronaldo at Juventus, that is exciting. How do Real Madrid build after Zizou and Ronaldo left? There's intrigue there. Barcelona, with what they've done. Atletico Madrid, some of the signs, Thomas Lemar from Monaco. So excitement, whichever way you look from a footballing standpoint, and the season does get underway. Well, the Premier League season, that is. 2 weeks yesterday, Manchester United, Leicester, 10th. Of August. Cannot wait. I will be there at Old Trafford. Then I'll be down watching you boys Huddersfield against
Beat
Chelsea.
Chelsea, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, let's see on that front. And then Liverpool West Ham's cracking opening weekend of the footballing season. Anyway, let's get back to some sport if we can, because Mark Archer, the Lions, well, their fans were silent in the first 5-10 minutes. The Waratahs were excellent. Now all of a sudden, and it's all kicked off.
I tell you what, Chris, the Lions are roaring at Emirates Park. They've just rumbled over from a line-out drive, rolling more. We've seen them score in the trial. Score in the corner. There's also now a little bit of fisticuffs between the forward packs coming together to contest what was a dominant Lions forward move there. They won the line out. They had the line out penalty. They went into the rolling maul. Malcolm Marks, the hooker, has gone over for his first try of the day. And the Lions, after trailing 14 points to nil after the first 10 minutes, the 5 minutes before half time, they now lead the Waratahs 17 points to 14 with a conversion to come. They've really got changed momentum in this game, and their forward pack have just absolutely beasted the Waratahs there, rumbling over from 20 metres out, and it's a pretty conclusive forward move. So the Lions have gone over in the corner. It's Elton Yankees trying to kick the conversion, but with 4 minutes to go to halftime, Lions 17 lead the Waratahs 14.
Stage 20 of the 2018 Tour de France, this penultimate stage, the finale tomorrow. Geraint Thomas is the man in possession of that yellow jersey, as he has been for the majority of this Tour de France. He is set to get his time trial, that 31-kilometre run, underway at about 6:30?
Yeah, I can tell you, 6:29, exactly, that he's due to go off. And the time so far to beat, Chris, the 31-kilometre time trial, the fastest time is 41 minutes and 42 seconds. But I can give you some good news. Geraint Thomas is also currently the British time trial champion, and he also won the first time trial stage last year on the tour to take the yellow jersey at the very early stages. So he's no mug when it comes to time trials. I would expect him to hold on to that 2 minute and 5 second lead and have take the yellow jersey into the Champs-Élysées tomorrow.
It is the Hungarian Grand Prix. Qualifying is underway. What I can tell you, a storm has hit over in Budapest and it has wreaked havoc in qualifying. Fernando Alonso in that McLaren, he is bowed out. He's been eliminated in Q2, as has Nico Hülkenberg. Daniel Ricciardo as well in the Red Bull, he's been caught out with that weather storm. Ericsson and Lance Stroll as well, the Canadian. So those individuals all out in Q2. They join Van Doorn, Leclerc, Ocon, Perez and Sorotkin from missing out on Q1. So Daniel Ricciardo, oof, what a torrid that is for the Aussie. He has bowed out in Q2. We'll keep you up to date in Q3. We will give you that winner, the pole sitter for tomorrow's Grand Prix when we come back. We're closing into the final segment of this evening's The Grill Show. Keep your thoughts, texts coming in on 4001. And we have just had a thought in. We're talking about my lack of ability to swim and to drive. I support you, Chris, for not swimming, but not supporting you for not driving. Regarding the passport issue, you hold 60% of the responsibility.
I want to know how Amar's come to that percentage.
I need to know that as
what
well.
What tips the scales from 50 or...
I think you heard the mitigating circumstances, the whole evidence.
The whole evidence is that
the passport was in your shorts for three whole weeks. You travelled during the quarterfinals of the World Cup, which was a month ago.
I've got a lot of shorts, Arch. I'm not in a rush to wash them. I like to keep my dirty clothes, build them up, save the ocean and save the environment.
Just one big good wash.
One big good wash. Yeah. It makes sense. Yeah. 4001, talking nonsense this evening on The Grill. We're having a little bit of fun and laughter. Fingers crossed you are too. Shishkon, what, coming up to 10 to 6 when we come back. We'll wrap up today's live sport and we'll keep you across all the big stories. I'm keen as well to look ahead to India against England. That first test at Edgbaston is on Wednesday. We will be hearing the thoughts of Adil Rashid, Ed Smith and maybe Nasser Hussain between now and 6 o'clock. Stay tuned.
This is The Grill, bringing you the biggest sports stories right now on Dubai Eye 103.8.
The tries are pouring in over in Joburg. It is Emirates Park. It is the second semi-final in the Super Rugby weekend. Lions Waratahs. Mark Archer's got the latest.
Yeah, it's been a great half of rugby, open rugby, bookended by a lead by the Waratahs, and they've struck back right at half time to go into the sheds at half time. 19 points all. The Waratahs led 14 points to nil. Early tries to Ned Hannigan and Israel Folau. They scored a last minute try in the first half to Tom Robertson, the loosehead prop. In between that, Chris, Quagga Smith, Dianti and also Malcolm Mark scored tries for the Lions. So at halftime in the second of today's Super Rugby semi-finals, it's the Lions 19, the Waratahs 19, all to play for in the second half.
Sean O'Shea is keeping an eye on all the pre-season friendlies. He's getting giddy. He's getting excited with the start of the new football season less than 2 weeks away. What results are standing out?
Do you know what? I've even got the new Huddersfield Town shirt.
I bet you have.
That was the first thing.
How old are you, Sean?
Old enough, mate, to go and buy it. 36.
36. Yeah. You bought yourself a new Huddersfield Town.
That's great. They've changed the badge. We've got the Terriers now. Oh, mate, this is going to be our season. We're going to finish 15th.
That's all you've really got, right?
Yeah, just finished one place better than last year. I'm a happy man.
And a cup run?
Nah, I'm not even bothered about that, to be honest.
Fine, okay. As long as you're a Premier League club at the end of the season.
Exactly, that's all that matters. Right, half-time scores, a few friendlies going on. So Burton Albion 1, Cardiff 3.
Oof, okay, Cardiff.
Southampton are away playing Dijon. They're winning 1-0. And Udinese are beating Leicester 2-0 at half time.
Udinese beating Leicester is an interesting one. Of course, you can't read too much into pre-season results. I did see someone on social media this afternoon point out that Newcastle, back in their promotion season, I think it might have been under Chris Hughton, we're looking at four seasons ago now, they actually lost a pre-season game 6-1 to Leyton Orient.
Oh, wow.
9 months later, they would be champions of the championship. So that, I guess, just gives you an idea that you can't read too much into what's going on. Of course, you don't want to be losing every pre-season match because that would hint at the fact that what you're doing on the training field isn't working. But
yeah. You look at Everton yesterday, like, you know, they lost 3-0 to Blackburn.
Yeah.
And like, you know, Marco Silva's first sort of friendly against a decent side. You don't want to be losing that, really, no. Do you, when you're in a new job?
Absolutely not. Certainly when the fans, I think there was a decent crowd, 3,500 Everton fans, made the journey not far up to Blackburn to watch that one. And again, it's about signals, especially if you're a new manager.
Yeah, you want to get off. Like Emery there today, beating PSG 5-1. Okay, I know it's a poor team, but it still reads 5-1 against
exactly.
PSG. And that's
the history books. Yeah. They don't look at the starting lineups. Correct. All it says there is Arsenal 5, PSG 1. So yeah, confidence will be growing over at Arsenal Football Club. Just how far can they go next season, though? I think top four would be a success. Arsenal fans perhaps have loftier ambitions. We are approaching the end of our show this evening. Just want to put you in the picture of what's going on over in Hamburg. It is the Porsche Open. Mark Archer's been keeping an eye on this one. We saw Bryson DeChambeau lead at the halfway stage yesterday, but it's another American who has come to the party today.
Yeah, Bryson DeChambeau was the overnight leader at 10 under par. And I can tell you that they have all gone off today, and the play has currently been suspended due to lightning. I'm just waiting for my screen to text now to change. But I can tell you that Richard McAvoy, when the lightning just came, it was Richard McAvoy leading at 11 under par. But Patrick Reed, Ryder Cup player and, of course, winner of the Masters earlier this year, has shot 2 under par for today through 10 holes. He's now one shot behind at 10 under par. Matthias Schwab, the Austrian, is also at 10 under par. And Bryson DeChambeau, the scientist, has kept par. He's a par scorer after 9 holes today, so he is still on 10 under par. So it's Richard McAvoy is currently leading in the Porsche European Open by one shot lead. He's 11 under par. Three players, Reed, Schwab and DeChambeau, tied for second.
It is the Hungarian Grand Prix. Qualifying is currently underway. The top 10 after Q2 then. Sebastian Vettel leads the way from Carlos Sainz Jr. Interesting that he would be in second. Max Verstappen third. Then comes the Mercedes of Lewis Hamilton. Gasly fifth. Bottas sixth. Hartley, what a wonderful run for the Kiwi. Dylan Hartley in seventh. Kimi Räikkönen in eighth. Kevin Magnussen ninth. And it is Grosjean in tenth. We will keep an eye on that one. We may well have a result for you before we clock off in 5 minutes' time or so. A big weekend of sport then. A big week to look forward to as well. And I guess one of the big events on the calendar for this coming week, Mark Archer, is England against India. The first test over in Birmingham at Edgbaston. It all gets underway on Wednesday. And one of the big talking points around this opening test hasn't just been the fact that India playing themselves into a bit of form. One or two problems perhaps with their opening batsmen, given the fact that they had some trials and tribulations against Essex. Virat Kohli, though, and a decent 68 from him. One or two of the middle order playing themselves into form. But the biggest story has concerned a certain Adil Rashid. Just give us a bit of background as to why he's making the headlines.
Yeah, Adil Rashid, who's done so well for England in T20 cricket and 50 over cricket in recent times, basically declared himself unavailable to play first class cricket for his county, Yorkshire. So he hasn't played any long form of the game. He hasn't played any 4-day cricket for Yorkshire, but the England selectors, Ed Smith in particular, the head selector, has deemed it necessary to recall Adil Rashid to the test squad without playing any first-class cricket. What this says for players playing in county cricket, well, we don't know, but it's been met with a lot of criticism from former players. The likes of Michael Vaughan, the likes of Nasser Hussain have come out and openly criticised the move to bring Adil Rashid back into the team. But some ex-players, the likes of Sir Ian Botham, have supported it. They're saying he's the best spin bowler in the country. You've got to pick him. It doesn't matter whether he's playing first-class cricket or playing cricket, franchise cricket around the world. If he's the best spinner in form, then you pick him for your team. So that's what's happened. Adil Rashid has been the shock recall into the English test team.
A lot of texts coming in on this one, not only today, but on Thursday night as well. A lot of people, a lot of Indian fans pointing out that perhaps, and again, I'm sure the selectors are looking at his full body of work, but that new ball of the century to dismiss Virat Kohli, it's gone viral. Virat Kohli's face is an absolute picture. It just pings off the surface. And then it bamboozles Virat Kohli. That will have played, of course, some part in the thinking of the selectors, because any bowler that can perhaps get into the head of Virat Kohli is well worth a run.
Yeah, and it's been a very dry English summer, and this test series starting start of August is a 5-test match series, so the pitches and the conditions are dry. The pitches turn a lot more than they do in England in May, and they need to find a mystery spinner, but someone that can turn the ball away from the right hand of the likes of Virat Kohli. So Adil Rashid's been recalled. Let's hope he goes well. Leg spinners are always great in the game of cricket. They open it up and make it much more interesting. And can he get it over Virat Kohli, who's got quite a lot to prove, because he's never, for all the success he's had around the world with India and at home, he hasn't really yet convinced the people that he hasn't scored the runs he should have scored in England on previous tours. So some big fights there. England, who haven't done well in Test cricket in recent years, England, India, who have got a pretty strong team there, particularly if the pitches do turn, they'll be more than happy with that. But again, it'll be the likes of Stuart Broad, Jimmy Anderson hoping to do some damage with the new ball there, and Adil Rashid taking on the likes of Virat Kohli in the Indian middle order.
Let's hear now from Adil Rashid, given that call up, despite the fact, as Archie's rightly pointed out as well, he's not played much red ball cricket in a long time, and here he is getting a call up to England team. Here's what he had to say.
I was obviously kind of surprised, because you know, to get back in the test side, usually, you know, people, you know, you got to go back to your, you know, counties and perform and get wickets, you know, to be considered. But you know, this is, you know, me and Ed Smith and a few others had, you know, had a chat, and you know, they were just thinking, you know, if I can, you know, be available and, you know, do the, you know, whatever job it is in the team, you know, to be attacking or whatever it is, that, you know, we'll be happy for you to be in the squad. So, and that's something that I had to think about, and you know, I made that decision to be available.
That is the thoughts there of Adil Rashid. You know, I love a prediction on this show, Mark Archer. You know that certainly in the case of Robbie Greenfield, he is more invariably wrong than he is right. I will ask you this though: it is a 5-test match series. Do England win it, or do India get a notable scalp?
That'd be a draw. 2-2. 2-2 with one drawn test. That's a prediction.
It is a prediction. Absolutely.
2-2 with a drawn test, because you can't. The English weather is going to strike. The English weather has been too good for summer. It's going to strike at some stage. One will be washed out. But 2-2, I see it.
You say it 2-2. Sean O'Shea, you don't like cricket. I'm sure you won't even tune into any of this match.
But it was almost like there was a foreign language being spoken.
But give me a prediction.
I'm saying England will win it.
What will the score be?
3-1.
Nice. I actually tend to think, it could be a classic. I'm actually really looking forward to this series, and we will build up to it on Sports Tonight during the week. I'm conscious of time. It has just ticked through 6 o'clock. That is it. Another 3 hours of the grill done. Sean O'Shea, big thank you to you.
Thank you. It was great to be back. Thank
Welcome
you very much.
Welcome back. And obviously, you're a superstar now, adorning pages the world over.
Thank you. It's
you and Luke Shaw, best mates.
It's been tough. Honestly, it's been really tough.
And the reason that Luke Shaw is looking in such fine fettle is in no small part to yourself as well.
Thank you. Very kind of you to say.
Let's hope that he stays fit and has a good season. Mark Archer, top man, my friend. I will hopefully be joining you on holiday in a couple of weeks if I can sort my passport out.
Well, I'll even be seeing you tomorrow night for Sports Tonight.
Oh, yeah, of course you will.
If I'm invited back.
Yeah, you will.
Hungarian Grand Prix. We'll see the Tour de France, hopefully, the crowning of Geraint Thomas, and probably some more football friendlies. And be plenty to talk about.
And I'm setting ourselves up for a fall by saying this, but also we might hopefully have a little, we'll hopefully shed some light on Force India. We may just be speaking to an individual who's very keen on buying over the F1 team that is in crisis. They're in administration. More on that tomorrow evening. Sports Tonight back from 7 p.m. It will be myself, Chris McCarty, joined by Mark Archer. Until then, have a fine remainder of your weekend, and make sure to keep it locked on Dubai Eye 103.8. For now, though, good night.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.